B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports up. They get you going.
In fairness, we have to make up for not watching the game.
Every day.
I might watch a baking show.
Toucher and Rich.
What do you expect me to do? Watch every basketball game?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
They all sound so dissimilar.
They all sound like they're from the Short Circuit soundtrack.
This is Babyface.
Is the song Babyface or is this the guy Babyface?
No, the song. Guy singing is Babyface.
I think he was influenced a little bit by Prince.
Bold statement.
All right, 985 The Sports Sub. We're Toucher and Rich. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv.
Does he sing that awful song? Because I love you.
No, he sings this awful song.
I'm out on Babyface.
Yeah. Well, I mean, David Silver.
Yeah.
I mean, he essentially got him laid for the first time.
That's right. Played keyboards for the carnival.
The song doesn't go anywhere.
Well, all right. I'll tell you. I have. There's a guy here now in from Los Angeles. He is a guy that interned for me, and now he does bits for a nationally syndicated show based in Los Angeles. And I'm glad he's here because you can see how much I've evolved. Because Rich, this is the kind of bit that you show to the younger people, and you say this is how you do radio.
You get this one. This is the kind of bits that won us a Marconi.
Yeah. His show's one of Marconi, so I mean, he's now he cannot steal this. Sebastian is not allowed to steal this
because everyone's going to try to. This is one of those you're going to find out at morning show boot camp that everyone tried to throw up there.
Is that what you bring to Atlanta when you talk to the fellas?
Oh, this is going to make it the boot camp battle of the bits.
That? All right,
there's no question.
Hey, we got Will Turkey many years ago.
We did, but this is a result of I don't even want to set it up. Let's just. So it's hot yesterday, huh?
It was not only was it hot, Rich, I would go so far as to say it was a scorcher.
It was hot, so we sent Nick out, and we're doing a little something that we're going to call...
Look at you, you're so sweaty, yeah, a quarter for your sweat.
I'm counting your sweat.
Nick is going to count your sweat stains, a quarter for your sweat.
I'm counting your sweat.
All right, so okay. I forgot the bit. Okay, so the bit is that Nick went out with a sack of quarters to the Red Sox game, and he said to people, he goes, look, it is hot, and then he counts, he gives them a quarter for every sweat stain on their shirt.
Or other parts of their body.
Oh, wow, yeah. I didn't know it got randy. And the best was that, like, we were like, well, we can't do it with ladies. So, women, you've won the war. Feminism. Gloria Allred, take a seat because the women have won the war.
So, Nick is out there. He's got his jing, jing, jing.
He's got his sack full of quarters. We had to ask Nick if he knew how to get a sack full of quarters. But he was out there with a sack full of quarters, and do I need to... You tell me what I need to do.
He stopped by the laundromat on the way there.
Yeah.
You know. Went by the 80s arcade.
Is there anything else I have to say before this plays?
No. Just I think people know the concept.
All right. The concept is he is giving you a quarter for every sweat stain that he can find.
Can we use this for the radio?
Yes, we can.
All right. Talk to me about this heat.
So it's pretty miserable. It's like hot. It's humid. I'm sleeping on a loft bed right now, so everything's...
This guy sounds sweaty. I can just hear it from his voice.
You can tell that he's... Nick found himself a guy, a Windhorse-esque type. Okay. That nice high voice that never really dropped because the weight got in the way.
Fred, there was times when I would do drunken recaps where you'd be looking in a crowd and you would just see the one head just start bobbling the wrong way. And you're like, oh, yeah, there we go. I could see Nick yesterday hearing this gentleman and immediately, like, Risky Business turning and pulling down his shirt.
Cherry red. All right. So, yeah, this is, you can tell this guy weighs, he's got some weight on him.
I'm sleeping on a loft bed right now, so everything's just miserable day in and day out. You know, I just try to go to like CVS, Stop and Shop, Target, you know, anything like that. I want to find someone with air conditioning, and I want to walk around, but I don't want to leave, but I have to because my job is biking around, and I can't bike around inside.
Well, that's a lie. You must have the world's worst bike messenger service. It's one package a week. I'll get there soon enough. Hold your horses. Yeah, boy, that was a heck of a ride. Here's your package, I guess. I'm stopping by CVS on the account of the air conditioning. Oof. Now, was he going to the game or was he just biking around? This isn't the.
He's just biking around.
All right, this isn't what Quicksilver seemed to.
No,
this isn't what the. What
it's
the
not a Kevin Bacon situation.
No, I was assumed.
Okay, do you think it's hot enough to fry an egg outside?
Honestly, I haven't tried it because.
All right, never mind about that, Jack. Okay, let's talk about how sweaty you are. Okay.
Yes.
For every sweaty spot on your body, you get a quarter.
Okay.
This sack of money.
Okay.
The sack of quarters,
yes.
It could be yours.
Okay.
But you have to list every sweaty spot on your body.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Go.
Forehead, back of the neck, chest, armpits, top of the arms. I got the bottom of the arms. I got the calves. I got the quads. Everything between my legs, it's a nightmare. It's like a swamp down there. I got my stomach. I got my lower back. That's pretty gross.
All right, stop, but... Keep on going.
I got my hair. I got my ears. I got my fingers are sweaty. I can't grab anything. Everything I touch is ruined.
Splish, splash. You're making some cash, my friend. How do you feel right now? You just earned like $1.50.
Thank you.
You know, this is why they call it El Sweato. Am I right?
Yes, you're right. You're
El
definitely
Sweato,
right.
El Nino. Get it?
Okay.
Can almost buy a paper, a quarter for your sweat.
I'm counting your sweat.
Now you get to use that payphone, a quarter for your sweat.
I'm counting your sweat.
All right. Well, I guess we'll just have to take the guy's word for it.
This is why they call it El Sweato, am I right?
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. That is why they
call it El Sweato.
Right.
El Nino.
Okay.
Sure. The guy's he's just $1.50 richer. He'll say anything you want. He'll agree to anything. You just paid this guy off.
Nick couldn't have left that guy any faster.
Did he smell? Was it that sweet, fat smell? That, like, sweet smell that sometimes comes off? It's not so much BO?
Thumbs up from Nick in the other room.
All right. Well, just, that's not all. There's another one. Ladies and gentlemen, don't think we just stopped there.
He's paying, gentlemen, a quarter for every sweat stain that he
finds. Now, the forehead and the back of the neck, I'm not seeing any sweat stains there. He's just taking the guy's word for it. But it seems like there was almost a gentleman's $1.50 there.
Sure, that's about right.
He's like, I'm not adding everything up.
He's creating it on a curve.
Yeah, yes. Here's six bits. Now, get it. Now scram is what he's saying to this guy. But you can't leave it at just one. No. You have to do another one, Rich. It's the rule of twos. And here comes another one.
Can we use this for the radio?
Of course you can.
You're just leaving the game.
Just leaving the game right now.
It's before the game's out. Why are you leaving?
The bottom of the fifth. My Brazil's about to fall off. I can't do it no more.
What? Oh, he's Irish.
What are your brajoles?
I have no idea.
You can say anything Italian and it means nutsack. Just anything he said meant nuts.
It's before the game's out. Why are you leaving?
The bottom of the fifth, my brajole's about to fall off. I can't do it no more.
Panicking.
Why? I'm sweating. I'm sweating my balls off. You have people around me screaming and yelling, bumping into me. Couldn't even play.
This guy talks like this for real.
Yeah, right.
This is exactly how he would talk to you when you came up to him at the cashier stand. This is exactly how he would talk to you. He's leaving the game alone.
me. Couldn't even keep a tray of nachos on my lap without somebody bumping my back. They fell on the floor.
So it sounds like you're not a big fan of this heat wave.
I'm not a big fan of the heat wave. I'm not a big fan of the fans either.
What's wrong with the fans?
They suck. Very ignorant.
Right.
Kansas City was ignorant.
All right.
Sat in the wrong section, clearly.
Well, you know what? Let's stick with the heat.
I like that idea.
Let's talk about sweat.
Sweat.
Let's talk about sweat and how much...
I sure as hell did not use enough baby powder today. I'll tell you that much.
All right. So you know now he's a man of great size. He's very upset about the nacho accident.
Sure.
He's a baby powdering everywhere. Mm-hmm. He has to baby powder or else... When was the last time you guys put on baby powder?
I've never done it. I've never done it. But I know that this is a regular thing for bigger human beings.
Because I am not a small man, but I will tell you this, is that I am not someone who's lavishing on baby powder.
I've never even rocked the Gold Bond, which I heard is a lifesaver.
Gold Bond is only in case of emergency where there's a great irritation. But that's usually due to you're a little sloppy with other hygiene. Gold Bond is necessary when you're unhygienic. Mm-hmm. Talcum has never been a thing that I've used. But I'm burying the lead here. We got to find out how many sweat stains this guy's got so Nick can give him his money.
Give him a quarter each.
That's right. That's the segment, all right.
It's a quarter for your sweat.
That's the segment. Do you understand? It was hot yesterday. It's going to be just as hot today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Lord, who knows, Nick? This might be every day it's hot. We might... Here we continue.
Let's talk about sweat. And
I
how
sure
much
as hell did not use enough baby powder today. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, okay. So That might be your
number one issue.
That might be good for you because I have this sack of quarters right here.
Yep.
Yeah, a little
looks like
sack.
A sack of quarters
for every sweaty spot on your body.
You don't have a big enough sack of quarters, I'll tell you that much.
All right. Oh, those fighting words right there. We'll see. Nick has a pretty big sack of quarters.
Sounds like a challenge.
That's right.
Captain McMeat sweats.
Well, if someone's going to pay for those nachos, believe me, Nick had plenty of quarters, buddy. Well, we have an old-fashioned duel. So now there's the added intrigue if Nick has enough quarters to pay the guy.
So it's is this your bit or is this future audio from Nick's bachelor party?
Well, that could be a hot day in Denver at the craft brewery, I'll tell you. This is Nick at the strip club with a nice sack of quarters. I know better than to lay out a dollar like a fool.
You don't have a big enough sack of quarters, I'll tell you that much.
All right, well, let's try your luck. I'll give you a time limit of 10 seconds. How's that?
I can name off 10 body parts.
All right, don't drive me. Don't drive me, okay?
Well, it depends what kind of questions you're going to ask.
All right. Well, no, that's the question. Can you list off all the sweaty parts of your body?
I can. Do you want to hear them right now or when?
All right, ready?
So, wait, wasn't the bit that Nick was going to point out the sweaty parts?
Right, he was going to point out the sweat, but he left it in their hands.
Yeah, he got a little uncomfortable. Did you get uncomfortable? You were going to name the sweaty parts.
You were going to say, well, that's sweat. That's sweat.
This is why this isn't working. Because if you would have named the sweaty parts.
It's all Nick's fault.
Yeah, this is home run material.
Okay.
Well, I still don't know if he has enough quarters. That I don't know. 10 seconds is an awful long time. Just to name parts of your body? How many body parts can you name in 10 seconds? All right. There you go. That's the bit. We'll be right back. No, here we go.
I can. Do you want to hear them right now or when?
All right. Ready?
Set.
Go.
Big toe, little toe, foot, bajole, ball sack, back, swass, neck, head, and chin.
All right. Swass.
What is that?
Swamp ass.
Yeah, but okay. But he said bajole.
Hey, bajole and balls are different or you just double up?
Are we counting Italian?
He just named all of his stuff English and then in Italian.
You should have said, hey, bucko, I don't have a peso or whatever they got there in Italy to give you. You keep to the queen's tongue, my friend. What is this Brajol nonsense? I'm not paying you in dineros.
We need a translator. Where's Mark Ciavelli?
As far as I'm concerned, it means balls.
Ball sack, back, swass, neck, head, and chin.
You're supposed to keep going, you idiot.
No, he said 10. That was 10.
No, 10 seconds.
Oh.
Keep going.
belly button, underbelly, underballs, between the legs, between my knee pits, my armpits, my elbow pits, my elbows, between my fingers, my palms, and my neck.
Splish splash.
Splish splash. My.
You're making some cash.
Oh, I like
there
that.
There you go. So I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, it is.
Counting underfolds and skin flaps, a quarter for your sweat.
I'm counting your sweat, sweat, sweat.
Buy an add-on dining playbook, a quarter for your sweat.
I'm counting your sweat, sweat, sweat.
Well, you're buying the whole half hour if you're on dining playbook. It's not quite dirty water television.
No, I mean, listen, I mean, Bad Fisherman's getting all the money.
Dining playbook.
Well, it's the intersection of sports and food.
I wonder if we could create, if we could make like a 20, if we could make an ad and then just buy up all the time on Nesson.
If we could just buy essentially every hour of Nesson except for Red Sox games.
Yes. And just have a day where it's just, and it doesn't advertise our show at all. It's just.
Can we pool together $75 like that?
I don't know. I hope you went to corporate to expense those quarters. That's money well spent. Well, Sebastian, if you were wondering, that's what we've been up to for the last 15 years.
Splish splash.
Splish splash.
You're making some cash.
Oh, I like
there
that.
You go.
Well, these guys certainly knew their body parts, I'll tell you that much.
This is why they call it El Sweato, am I right?
Yes.
Well, there you go.
El Sweato, right. El Nino.
And if you're still listening, Okay. Shame on you. How dare you? You have nothing better to do? All right, Chris Forsberg is going to join us, as every show had a Celtic guy on. The new coach was on the midday show, mm-hmm. and the owner was on the afternoon show, and here we are, yesterday's tomatoes. No one's paying any attention to us. We'll talk to Chris Forsberg in just a moment.
I'm sweating my balls off.
StageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Worse than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I know this. This isn't even New Jack, but this was, this is what he had to come back from. A lot of people thought LL Cool J had sold out. And then he had to come back with Obama Said Knock You Out.
Yep. Bamboo earrings,
at least two pairs. What song is this by LL Cool J?
Runaway Girl.
Runaway Girl, sorry.
In a good mood. She can walk with a switch and talk with street slang. I love it when a woman is scared to do a thing.
Think about Rick Rubin back in the day. Like, I mean, just how... I mean, he helped shape the sound of hip-hop between Run DMC and LL Cool J and the Beastie Boys back then. Who else was he... like down with?
Well, he was running Def Jam out of his dorm room at NYU.
Insane.
And then then moved on. He's made a couple bucks. Chris Forsberg found himself in a Round the Way Girl. There's no question about that.
That was on my summer playlist.
It is?
I'm serious. Yeah, no, really, my 90s playlist, that's definitely on there.
Well, that's a song from the 80s, but okay. Chris Forsberg covers the Celtics. No. I would almost guarantee that it's from the 80s.
Really? I feel like that
I thought that was 90s, man. Too. I thought Chris was right.
What's it called?
Around the Way Girl.
Around the Way Girl.
Because people started to hate on LL Cool J because of that song, and then he felt like he had to come back.
Chris Forsberg, there's a reason why you're an expert. 1990.
All right, that's still the 80s.
Whee! Resting right there.
There you go. All right. He covers the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Well, Chris, I don't know if you have the kind of access that our midday and afternoon shows have that we seem to lack now. But they were Gross Beck was on. The new coach was on. But I see the article on Twitter that popped up just now is the question of extending Marcus Smart. Now, when the new coach spoke to the media, he did not have much to say about Marcus Smart. Then when he was on the midday show, he included Marcus Smart in the triumvirate there with Tatum and Brown.
Pillars of the team.
Do you buy that? Do you think Marcus Smart is due an extension? And if they're going to keep him, do they have to extend him now?
So it's a fascinating question. I just love it because it's so polarizing. Like if you slide into the mentions there, like people are all over the map. Some people are like adamantly yes about bringing back Marcus on a long-term deal. Others think it's just time to go in a different direction. I'm just always fascinated that he's such a polarizing player. You know, when I listen to Ime talk and wanting to establish a defensive culture and being a defensive-minded coach, it sort of makes sense, right, that he's all in on Marcus Smart and what he brings. I do always wonder. The coach has the luxury of being, you know, good cop and can say great things about every player. And if they get traded, it's, oh, well, you know, Brad had to make a decision and they can pin it on the president of basketball operations having to move him. But I do think, you know, Ime has a great respect for what Marcus brings to the court. And if he is going to sort of reset that defensive DNA, Marcus is key to that. So, it's a hard question for Brad and the Celtics because it's essentially 4 years, $77 million more on top of his deal, brings it to like 5 years, $91.5 million. You know, part of it says, do you want to keep that cap space flexibility? But I think the more likely path to a third star is a trade. So I think they do have to consider it. If nothing else, to have your three of your, if you truly believe those are your pillars, three guys in place long term, and then all of a sudden no one's worrying about contracts and status and all that. So it's an intriguing option.
Yeah, because how does Marcus Smart block you? Like, for instance, if I extend Marcus Smart, I mean, obviously he's not a max guy, but if I extend Marcus Smart, I'm going to have to pay him. And he's going to have to get a lot of minutes. So by nature of having Marcus on the team and making him a long-term member, a guy who's going to be difficult to move, doesn't that in fact block me, like, from a certain kind of player? For instance, if a guard's available and I'm locked into Marcus, is this blocking me in that fashion as well?
Sure. So the first thing I think of is, okay, the Celtics now, with after the Kemba deal, have a pathway to cap space in 2023. So if they just said, you know, we want to go sign somebody, then you go short-term deal. If you bring back Evan Fournier, you make sure you don't splurge on anybody else over the next two summers, and you just position yourself to go get, you know, whoever it is. And when I think we all default to Bradley Beal, or, you know, there'll be different guys out there, and who knows who they desire to play with. But you have at least a pathway to that. Now, it's still prickly, even if you don't extend Marcus Smart, and you're still going to be diligent. And I think it's probably unlikely they get to the point where they can get to max cap space, or, you know, you'd really have to cut corners over the next 2 years, and maybe that sacrifices your ability to be a contender in that mix. So I think it's more likely that they, you know, pay a guy like Marcus. Maybe you extend Robert Williams. You use some of those resources, but then your quest for another guy is you're going to trade. And so even if you got into year two of Marcus Smart's new deal and it wasn't working, he's not your point guard of the future. He's still on $18 million a year, and we know with NBA contracts, that's still really reasonable. Mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be options to trade him further down the road if it didn't work out. My fear is that the Celtics have seen so many guys sort of walk away without getting value back here, whether that was Al originally or Kyrie or whatever, that they can't just let Marcus get to the end of this deal and say, yeah, we'll figure it out after this year. I think they have to make a decision by the trade deadline this year and, you know, with the extension this summer. So it's just part of the puzzle that Brad has to put together. The big question here is, like, does Marcus make the Jays better? And there's been instances where when he's been playing point guard, he's been really good. But the numbers last year weren't great when he was out there with the two of them. Now, some of that is muddy because last year was a mess overall. So they've just got to figure that out. That's why Brad gets paid the big bucks to make decisions now.
But his reputation, Marcus Smart's reputation, took a little bit of a hit this season in that, you know, you heard the Kemba Walker story, and I don't know how true it is, that Kemba was jealous that, I guess, that favoritism was being shown towards Marcus as opposed to him. There was the infighting, or not infighting, you saw it like right off the court between him and Jaylen Brown, you know, getting into a little bit of a heated back and forth. I believe it was Jaylen Brown that he got into a fight with on the side of the court, or like it wasn't a fight, but it was definitely a off court or
they've always had little flare ups. They are two of the most, you know, like guys that have always sort of gone at each other, and you know, because Marcus holds Jaylen to a high level.
So okay, to me, I think that Jaylen sounds like a guy mature enough to understand the value of a guy who does that, and I think that a little fighting, you know, as long as it's done with mutual respect, can be healthy. But is he liked? Because that Kemba thing kind of just came out of nowhere, and I had heard other rumblings this season that people were sick of his attitude, and maybe it was like it just wasn't gelling with what the rest of the team was thinking. What are you hearing about how he's liked on this team?
I think the guys in that locker room really respect what he does. He's not one of a kind in terms of putting that focus on the defensive end, but the way he plays, and he's unique. And I think they understand there are times when I'm sure the guys on that team and the coaches and the front office look at it and go, Marcus, like, be a little bit more diligent with your shot selection. There are times when they've certainly needed his offense, but when he just puts a focus on playmaking and defense, he's a really valuable player. I think he holds everybody accountable, and that probably rubs guys the wrong way sometimes, because Marcus, as you said, didn't have a great year this year. And especially coming off that calf injury, when he came back, I just didn't think he was sort of safe to the same level. I know Danny tried to push back on that with you guys a couple times, but, you know, it was clear. It's just Marcus was not the same impactful defender, and he would later say there was a lot of stuff going on off the court. But, you know, it's hard to hold guys accountable when you're not being to the same level that you typically play to. So I would think moving forward in the realm of a more natural season, you'll see the more natural Marcus Smart, but certainly they've got to balance it. Can he still be the same defensive player? And I would think he can be, but then he can hold guys accountable. But you know, you're always going to butt head with a guy like Marcus because he's just so passionate about what's out there. And I guess that's what I kind of default to when, you know, I probably am in the Marcus Smart fan club. You know, look, he's got to change the way he plays a little bit, especially moving forward, and be a little bit more deferential, especially in that point guard role. But there's a way for the new coach, especially, to come in and sort of have that accountability that maybe Brad didn't always hold up, and find a way for everybody to thrive in their best roles.
By the way, Chris Forsberg standing in the middle of Snow White right now.
I noticed.
Magical Birds, which has John Wallach's ears up.
I heard it. I wasn't going to bring it up. But,
what are they saying, John? What are the birds saying?
We love you, Fred. That's what they're saying. Well, we love you.
You don't have to be sarcastic.
Chris, regardless of who the Jays play with next year, Ime Udoka mentioned
Jays, meaning the Birds?
Yes, the Blue Jays.
Okay.
Regardless of who the Blue Jays play with next year. Ime Udoka said during his press conference, and then again with the Midday Show yesterday, about the young players in the first-round draft picks the Celtics have. I mean, all I keep hearing is they remain all in on guys like Romeo Langford and Robert Williams. How far in should the Celtics be on guys like Peyton Pritchard and Romeo Langford and Robert Williams? Have we seen enough of them yet?
Well, I mean, with Robert Williams, you should be so far in you can't get yourself back out, because we know the Time Lord's potential is limitless. It just comes down to
Of course, right. I can't wait for him to knock down his first 15-foot jumper.
Well, limitless awesome. For a guy who can't stay on the court.
Yeah, there's no need for that, John. You're making it sound like in the NBA, the bigs have to be able to shoot.
I know, that's my fault.
But that's a legitimate problem they're about to face, because they don't know what they've got, and they've got to give him his rookie extension this year, right?
That's true.
Yes.
They have to at least consider it, and it's something that is probably not as pressing as Marcus. You can get to next offseason, but if Rob has a really good year, all of a sudden it gets a lot more difficult, because as we see Clint Capella have a really good playoffs, we just know how valuable those sort of players are, and teams will overspend for that position. So, again, tough decisions for Brad. I roll the dice just because I'm fascinated by the player. I fully admit his shortcomings in terms of health, and he does have to develop. He has to figure out I actually think he's got a pretty good mid-range game. He's got to figure out how to stretch himself out to that three-point line. And, you know, as crazy as that sounds right now, that it just always seems to invariably happen as big men get older. But, you know, his bread and butter is going to be finishing 3 feet within the basket, so he can figure that out. But, you know, in terms of everybody else, you know, Romeo had some good moments in the playoffs. He also had some really bad moments in the regular season where he didn't play with enough energy, and that's like improbable for a guy who's trying to carve out a role and who missed half the year. So they do have to figure out what they've got, because I think one of the things that they struggled with the last administration and Danny was, you know, they gave a lot of these young guys a lot of time to try to come along. Well, you know, if you're competing for titles, you don't have the luxury of figuring it out with these guys. So it's either, are they part of your core? Are they going to be guys you're building around? Or if not, you got to move them and figure out the players that can help you right now. So whether that's Romeo, whether that's Grant Williams, you know, pretty much that entire 2019 draft class needs to figure it out right now. And, you know, some of them won't survive through this summer, and Brad's got to bolster the back end of the roster and give the one thing I'm pretty sure about is he's not going to leave Ime with as many thin options on his bench as he had. Like, he's looking down there last year when COVID hit and thinking, who can I lean on? I guess my suspicion is there'll be more veterans here, but, you know, Peyton Pritchard shot 41% as a rookie. He's going to have a role. Romeo, he plays great defense. If they can figure out how to get him some confidence to play offense the way he did back in Indiana in high school, he can be helpful. And Neesmith, I think, showed, you know, he can be a player. So they have the talent there, but all those guys have to go to another level. Like, when we talk about how did the Celtics get competitive quickly, it's development right there, and either those guys being more helpful on the court or becoming trade assets that help you get that next star. But they certainly need those guys to all make great strides.
Okay, Chris, just finally, can you clarify something for me? Because I'm a dumbass, and sometimes I mishear things. But I thought when I was watching I watched you guys on the special that you did when you Ime Udoka was being introduced. There was a conversation that Scal was part of where they were talking about the whole Gordon Hayward situation last season when he was getting, you know, when Danny was trying to do something with the Miles Turner. Remember how everyone was calling out him because he wasn't able to land Miles Turner even though he was offered and all. Okay. Did Scal say, because it sounded like he claimed that Smart, Brown, and Tatum didn't want to play with Miles Turner.
I heard that too, yeah.
Did he say that?
He did, and so I've sort of he didn't want to say the player's name, but I said it. I thought this was pretty well known. I thought, you know, maybe I didn't say it strongly enough on the Celtics Talk podcast or any of our programming last year, but I think the big thing when it came to that Indiana trade was the Danny went to his core players who played with Miles at FIBA, and I don't know how, like, maybe Danny in his mind was just like, you know, this isn't a trade I want to do, but he asked those guys, like, who would you want to play with at the center position? And at that point, they were considering Tristan Thompson in that role, and I think the players just more said, we'd rather play with him. He's been through the playoff grind. That's a guy we think can help us get to the next step. And so I don't know how much of necessarily Miles Turner slander it was, but it was, we'd rather play with this guy than that guy. And I think Danny took that into consideration when he made that deal. And I think that just sort of got lost. Like, Danny can't come out right and naturally just, like, scream that from a mountain. But I do think that played a big part in how they decided to move forward with that Indiana trade, is that, you know, a lot of the pieces they were going to get back in that deal, I don't think they loved. And I think there would have been some other maneuvering if it had gone down where some of the guys coming in would have been flipped for different players on different teams.
Well, so. I apologize for not hearing you at the beginning of the season say that, because Danny got killed all season long for not sealing the deal with Miles Turner. And now, I mean, just me and I, John, I don't know if you're the same way, to hear that it wasn't Danny's fault, but it was that Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum didn't want Miles Turner on
that
the team.
That was new. I hadn't heard that.
That's a narrative that I apologize to you if you said at the beginning of the season, Chris. But
there's no need to apologize. I just think, you know, again, you never know for sure like how those conversations went. And maybe at the end of the day, they were like, yeah, we'd kind of want to play with him, but Danny's got to make that decision at the end of the day. And it's fair to look back on that deal and still be like, did they make the right decision? The parts you would have gotten, depending on what happens with Evan Fournier, we'll revisit that in probably 6 months and figure out whether that was the right move. But I just don't think the Celtics wanted to pay $18 million for a center that maybe their core was lukewarm on.
Yeah, well, it was the wrong move. All right, Chris Forsberg, don't miss the next thing he says. You check him out at NBC Sports Boston.
Well, make sure to listen more closely.
And know that the...
I don't have much information.
And that the birds are they're very upset while it's leaving. All right, Chris Forsberg, thank you so much for the time, sir.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, guys.
All right, we appreciate it. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
On the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Who is this, John?
Brownstone.
I don't know this one.
Yeah. It's good. You guys cut out like the 1 minute intro into this. I was worried, but no, this is perfect.
I think Dan's learned his lesson about New Jack Swing is that it tends not to get to the point.
Yes. There is a long intro.
Yeah, the New Jack
Most
Swing.
Most of them. Yeah.
Some of them have a lot of talking before the music comes up and all that stuff. There's conversations going on. Yeah,
you got to leave the time for the DJ doing the quiet storm at 7 o'clock at night to be able to seduce you right into the hook.
Yeah. Because you would think you would just let it fade, because then you could just go to the rhythm when you're humping.
Hip-hop radio in, like, the 90s was truly fantastic, because there was, like, you know, growing up with me, there was, like, two different stations. There was the one that was a little more of, like, the smooth one. It would play stuff like this.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was the actual one that we listened to, Fred, where they broke rap bands. I mean, you know, Ludacris was the nighttime DJ from 7 to midnight.
And who was his co-host?
Chris Lover and Poon Daddy.
A guy named Poon Daddy.
I know that because I was cast in his TV show, Riding with Chris and Poon Show.
Oh, nice.
That's right.
Remember the Riding with Chris and Poon show?
It was never filmed. It never took off. But we had a meeting with Jermaine Dupri, and there was a nice spread of sandwiches.
I wonder how many meetings Jermaine Dupri had that went absolutely nowhere at that point.
I'll tell you what was kind of cool is we did it at one of the studios that Jermaine Dupri worked at, and we were all sitting there. I was the token white guy on the show. And at one point, George Clinton came walking in from another studio, and no one, like, freaked out. And I'm like, holy crap, George Clinton's just right next door.
He was probably living in the studio at that point.
He kind of looked like it. But
yeah, not a man of great means.
No, but they used to have this thing called Future Flavors when Chris Ludacris Bridges was the DJ. And they would have two people rap battle at, like, 9 o'clock at night. And these dudes were amazing. Like, they would call in and say, I want to be in this rap battle, going one guy against the next. And they would just play like a bed. And you know what? To be honest, that sounds like it would be an absolute disaster. But somehow, they made it work. Guys freestyling over the phone against each other. And they killed. And of course, Pooh Daddy would tell him what he thought. And then Chris Lovalova would go in there and just, like, you know, kick out a new track.
Now, Pooh Daddy is, I believe, a big-time assistant for Mr. Ludacris.
He was very, very loyal, kept him together, and he has been with him. I bet Ludacris, how much do you think Ludacris makes from the Fast and Furious movies?
Oh, tens of millions of dollars.
No, I mean, no. Honestly, how much do you think he got paid for, let's say, F9? Like, for the last movie he was in?
Okay, so if I'm making Fast and Furious, I know I don't need Ludacris. He's not the guy I need. I'm casting a role.
But you also know his value because he is a well-liked cast member.
Well, now
they got a computer genius to take his place. What's that woman's name?
So he's not on it anymore?
No, he is there. But I mean, the point is he's been duplicated. There's another woman who does the same thing that he does.
Now I don't know anything from Fast and Furious, but I've never seen any of them. But now he's worthless. I mean, no one cares about him anymore.
People actually do like his character. And Fred, I'm not just saying this to say something opposite, but it's true. I think that his character has turned into something.
Devil's advocate. Your relationship with Ludacris is tainting this whole conversation. All right, fine. I don't know. You would know better than me. But okay, so say people like the character. $3 million?
2 million?
I was going to say less. I was going to say about 2 million he probably
got. Yeah, 2 million. That's fair.
All right. So this is for F8. I'm looking. This is for Fast. How much the cast of the Fast and Furious is actually worth? Oh, this is just worth? All right. Because Vin Diesel's probably worth a ton because he's produces, a producer.
So. Well, how much is Ludacris worth?
You know what? Let's take a look. Ludacris, I remember, was getting paid a decent amount of money to do like private parties. Remember there was that one story where he did some party at the University of Georgia and they gave him something like crazy, like $3 million for one performance?
Me and the program director, who's now the program director at Kiss 108, almost got in a physical altercation. I don't know, Sebastian, if you remember this, but we almost got in a physical altercation over Ludacris. Ludacris came into the building where Dylan was the program director of Q100, and I had the audacity to start talking to Ludacris on mic, and he did not like that because he was a Q100 guest, and then he started to bow up to me. And we'd since had become friends. I haven't talked to him in a long time, but I ended up hanging out with him in Kansas City for a while. Ludacris, that was hot property. The hot property at that station. He did not like that I was talking to Ludacris on the microphone. That was the Q100 guest for the Great Bird Show.
They're saying Ludacris is worth $25 million.
That seems fair.
Which sounds about right. I'm guessing, Fred, if you had to put a sum on it, somewhere between $2 and $3 million, probably $2 million, because those movies make so much cash anyway that they're probably like, all right, why the hell not? But let's give these cast members.
Yeah, because the thing is, if he says no, you're just like, okay. Like, I don't need you. Like, his value is just what they're willing to give him. Because if they're like, we'll give you $1 million, he goes, no. And they go, okay. Like, I think that I'm unfamiliar with the franchise, but it seems like something that could roll along. Considering one of the main dudes died in real life, and they put him in holographic form in the film, I'm imagining if Ludacris was not in the project that they could find a way around him, that it wouldn't derail the project.
And by the way, Ludacris is in the movie because Ja Rule wanted like a ton of cash.
I remember reading that? It, yes.
So Ja Rule,
an excellent businessman, though. He was behind that Fire Festival.
Yeah, Ja Rule was in the first one. Ja Rule was in the first one, had a bit part in the first one. And then
Monica!
That's right. He wanted to expand his role.
My advice would be to follow his financial acumen. Everything that he's done. Put Ja Rule, and if there's not a negative in front of his net worth, I don't believe that for a second.
Wasn't he doing like a Euro commercial for some like local Euro company?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember you played that.
Yes, he was. He was doing it. And people were like, it's his friend. Uh-huh, it's his friend. Yeah, it's his personal chef. He's a real... He was part of the Fire Festival. I mean, they couldn't even put that together. A dumb festival. They couldn't even get off the ground. Ludacris, $2 million.
Yeah, I'd say probably got $2 million. And that's great, because every 2 years, he gets a $2 million paycheck.
That's not bad.
Don't they wrap things up with the next one?
Gravy Train is being discontinued very, very soon.
Well, he's got Fast 10, which is going to be the finale, but it's in two parts for it. So he gets double the paycheck.
They can still say 10. They don't want to go to 11.
And listen, maybe like Hobbs and Shaw, there will be a spinoff on Ludacris's character.
Okay.
You know, Ludacris and Han.
All right. Yeah, it's straight to Nintendo.
What?
It's not going to even bother releasing.
I mean, listen, they got to time travel next, right? I mean, they've gone to space.
That's all that's left.
Sure. Go back and, you know.
Well, time travel is the sign of TV shows when they're falling apart and have nothing left to do. So if they time travel.
Or bring an alien,
That's true.
Bringing an alien or a baby. Well, the baby is obviously the sign of jumping the shark.
Well, there's been several babies that they've already brought into the Fast and Furious. Right.
It's either time travel or amnesia, which Fast and Furious has also already done.
Oh, they've done amnesia?
They've done amnesia.
How convenient.
Yeah, one of the characters.
So they're the Flintstones.
Yeah.
So basically, they're the Flintstones.
They've done amnesia. They've gone to space.
Yep.
They've taken a missile and redirected it with their hand shuffled it on ice.
Yep. Fate of the Furious. Sure.
Someone should do a Fast and Furious Flintstones mashup, and how the Flintstones Hanna-Barbera deserves a lot of that chunk of that creative.
Well, you're about to get that, because remember that legitimate story that came out that Universal is considering doing a crossover between the Fast and the Furious and Jurassic Park. I mean, you're only one caveman away from the Flintstones crossover.
Well, studios know that just you're appealing to total morons. And so, if you pop anything up there, any kind of thing that's been any franchise, anyone will see it. That's all people want is franchises. That's why there's so few good movies anymore. It's because they're all trying to appeal to Nick.
I'm all emotional. The Avengers is ending, except for the 5 million movies that have come out since then. Don't spoil the ending of the Avengers. There's 7,000 movies that have come out since then. So emotional over it. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.